Okay. So, beginning, Jesus greater than Satan and all his works. Let's turn to, like I say, I know there's lots of passages. Let's turn to John 8:12, and we will begin to read. I hope most of you have had an opportunity to read these and to see that some of the ways that Jesus came and defeated the devil and also helps us to defeat the devil in our daily walk. Okay, John 8:12. Sandra, would you read that, please?
Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life."
Okay, and then turn over to chapter 12, 27 through 36. Sandra.
For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. And how can you say, 'The Son of Man must be lifted up'? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, live in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them.
And verse 46.
"I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness."
Okay. Let's turn to Hebrews, the second chapter, 14 and 15. Anna, do you have that? Okay.
"Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?"
Hebrews 2:14 and 15.
"Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives."
Okay. 1 John 1. Bobby, would you read 1 John 1, 5 through the second chapter, verse 1. 1 John 1, verse 5.
Oh, okay.
1
John 1, verse 5.
Yes, ma'am.
This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us."
Okay, in chapter 2, 1 and 2.
"My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world."
Thank you. Okay. 1 John 3:8. Susan?
The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Okay, and then chapter 4, 1 through 6 of 1 John.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Okay. And 1 John chapter 5, 4 and 5. Yetsema, can you read? 1 John 5, 4 and 5.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes in Jesus is the Son of God.
And then verse 18, 19, and 20.
We know that no one who is born of God sins. But he who has born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 22.
Verse 20.
And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Okay. And then in Revelations 1, 17 and 18, we've been studying in the Revelation class, it tells about who Jesus is, the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, 13, Jamie, would you like to read 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13, please?
Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
And who can tell me what Ephesians 6 talks about, that passage there? Very familiar to us. What did God give us? What is there available? The armor of God is there. And we will, you can read that. It is the armor of God. And let's look at just one little phrase there in Ephesians 6. We should all know this passage and be, and check back with it. Check ourselves and our attitude towards living for Christ with this. And it says, verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then it talks about what God has given us as his armor. Okay. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. Pat, would you read that, please? 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10.
You have condemned and put to death the righteous man He does not resist. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord.
Okay, and you were reading...
Oh, I'm in James.
You know, that's a very good reading, and we learn from that. First Peter 5.
That's right. This doesn't sound right. Anyway,
no. 6 through 10.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You should have stopped me before I kept rambling.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt. It was a good verse.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself protect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
Thank you. Okay, and the last reading that I gave on your lesson is Romans 8. And surely we all know what Paul is telling the Roman brethren here. He says, and just as we start in verse 24, he says, "In hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. But why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." And skipping down then to verse 37, or let's start with 35. "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Now, I gave you those passages, and then I asked, what are some of the ways mentioned in these passages that show how Jesus defeated the devil? And, you know, three words come to mind when I read these. Peace. Not just peace with God, but peace within my soul, knowing these things. And hope. Hope that no matter what the devil throws at me, I can overcome. And it gives me resolve. Resolve is a word that means to untangle in your mind, to determine, to settle on. I'm resolved to do this. And so it shows us that we can be firm and steadfast in our fight against the devil if we partake of these things and understand and have faith in these things. What overcomes the devil? Our faith. And so, what did someone put as one of the ways that Jesus either defeated the devil himself or makes it possible for me to defeat the devil every day? Anybody put anything?
I'll put walk in the light, and that sounds kind of an oversimplification, but
no.
It has to do with the resolve that you're talking about, and this is something active that we determine to do each and every day.
And who came as light out of darkness? Jesus. Jesus. And you know, Isaiah talks about that. He talks about there will be a light coming out and it will shine in the darkness and they will see the light and they will come to the light. And so when Jesus came, he came, John 8 says, I am the light of the world. And so Jesus came as light. He showed us right. He showed us the way of righteousness. And not only did he live perfectly himself, but we can look to him, and he gave us also, through the apostles, a way that we can walk and have fellowship with him, through him. And in him, there is no darkness. Yes, we're going to sin. Of course, Jesus did not. But what in the reading gives us courage and gives us resolve to keep on, you know, even if we fall down? What did Jesus do to defeat the devil that no one else could do?
Resist.
He resisted him, and he died on the cross. And then he was buried, and he arose. He defeated the power of the devil. He defeated the curse of sin for mankind. He gave the answer. He took it away. The devil doesn't have that power over sin and over death that he had before Jesus went to the cross. That's why, as Pat talked about resisting the devil tried a lot of things to keep Jesus down off the cross. And he thought he was victorious when the Jews and the Romans put him there. But Jesus arose. And he arose from the dead, and he was victorious, and we can be victorious through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he went to sit at the right hand of God, and he reigns. And when 1 John talks about if we sin, what can we do? Is it over? What does it talk about there in 1 John?
Repentance and forgiveness.
Confession and forgiveness. If we confess our sins and, you know, we still believe in the power of the blood of Jesus, it keeps on cleansing and cleansing. That verb there, as Steve has talked, you know, in classes before, in the pulpit, it's a verb that it is continuing. And so it's not just a one-time thing. We are going to sin. We are going to fail. But Jesus' blood keeps on cleansing if we confess and if we turn in faith to walk in the light. You know, to walk in the light is a choice of how I'm going to live. You know, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. But to walk in darkness is a way of life. To follow after the things of the world, to follow after the wisdom of the world, instead of having Jesus as the King of our hearts. That's the difference between walking in darkness and walking in light. Who's going to be the master of your life? And so, is it going to be self and Satan, or is it going to be Christ? And now, there was something else that we read about. What did Christ give us?
Armor. He gave me everything I needed to protect myself.
Absolutely.
And to grow.
The Word of God and all the armor that's there in Ephesians 6. And if we resolve to grow every day in those things and with prayer, it says, we will defeat the devil. He gave us his word. You know, the us there in one of the passages that Sandra read is talking about the apostles. He sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles. He gave us the word. We have the word to live by. He gave us the word that we might have faith. And John says that these are written that you may know. And in 1 John, he says, you may know that you have eternal life. So, it's not a guessing game. It's not a throw the dice. It is, we might know. that we have eternal life. But we're also talking about those false apostles. There are many false teachings in the world. Satan, in the first century, used the Jews. He used false apostles. He used false teachers, even within the churches. And he tried to defeat the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you have the Word. If it doesn't line up with what the apostles' doctrine is, it's false. We have it. We can have understanding. What did Paul say in Ephesians 3:4? That I read, you can understand. So, he has given that to us. What a blessing we have. And we might know that we can overcome the world of unbelief and sin. 1 Corinthians 10. One little verse there. Huge meeting. He will not allow what? More than what you can bear. And with that temptation provides a way of escape. He just doesn't. He covers both areas. So, how has he, with knowledge, how has he given us a way of escape? Not just through his providence, but what? Through his word also? Yeah, okay. He'll not allow me to be tempted. Who's in control? Always. Who's greater than the devil?
God.
Who's in control with Job? Did he allow Satan to test him? Who's in control today? Same God. And he will not allow me to be tempted more than I can bear. He knows me. But I have to trust him. We can't go out there and test God by getting drunk and running towards the Grand Canyon and saying, okay, God, use your angels, you know, to lift me up. That's not what Paul's talking about, and that's not what the God of heaven is talking about. He's talking about through faith and trust in him. Yes, we're going to be tempted. Yes, we're going to sin, but with each temptation, there is a way of escape. And the best way that we can overcome that is letting the Word of God be so insaturated within us that our conscience will be pricked and we will turn away from that. Any comments about that? Did anyone have that, or any comments about that verse? But we do have to choose. It's up to us. We've already talked about his armor and the verses there in Romans that talk about nothing can separate me from the love of God. Yes, death might come, even for the cause of Christ. Suffering may come. All of those things that the world of sin and the devil will throw at us because of that. But nothing can separate me from the love of Christ except for one thing. My failure to believe and to have faith that I can overcome. If I give in, if I turn away like Solomon, if I hold fast to something else and turn loose of God and faith in Jesus and the blood of Jesus and his word, then the devil's got me. And he has defeated me. Did anyone have anything else that they gained from those passages? Okay. In the next point is the greatest name above every name. And this is finishing up our better, greater study of Jesus in all aspects. And so, in Isaiah 9:6, turn over there, all of the words there, 9:6, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. The throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness, and then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And in John 8:58, we all know what Jesus is talking about there. Before Abraham, I am. He is the great I am. Okay? By the way, that's one of the names that was that God used and that God used when he was talking to Moses and to the Israelites on who sent you? You tell them the I am sent you. Okay? And Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Susan, would you read that, please? Philippians 2, 9 through 11.
Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Okay, and of course in Revelation we've just studied that very recently. Steve, in 1:8, he calls himself the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first and the last. In 19, 11 through 16 of Revelation, in 16, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay? And, of course, let's go to Matthew, the first chapter. The Gospel of Jesus Christ begins with this. And in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, we read about the angel talking to Joseph and about the birth of Christ and everything. And in verse 20, he says, don't put her away. The child that she is to bear is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. And all this took place that was spoken by the Lord to the prophet that we might that be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. This is the being that we serve. This is the being who left heaven and came and died on a cruel cross, because he loved me and you and the whole world so much. He came to defeat the devil, to give us hope, to bring us back to the Father. You know, God's people left him. And he says, when he made all those promises, I will be your God and you will be my people. Be holy as I am holy. They forsook all of that. They left him. They become like the world. They started serving the idols. Jesus wants the same for us. And Peter, the Holy Spirit writes, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he wanted a holy people. And this was the path that God took to bring his people back to him, to cleanse them, to make them a holy people again. And nothing can separate us from that except our own will to serve self and sin. So, this Jesus, this greatest name, it's who he is. It's everything about him. It's his teaching and what he still does for me if I allow him to in my life, to be king and ruler of my life. Any questions or any other comments on that? Therefore, let's turn to Hebrews 12. We've studied this passage so many times. I never get tired of reading it, and I hope that we all can understand this, and of course Romans 12 also. In Hebrews 12, the writer has just finished giving that great chapter of faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, all down through there. And they all died without receiving the promises, but they looked for a better country. They looked for a better inheritance than what they had even been promised. And so, the therefore, based on that kind of faith, faith is assurance of things. He starts in chapter 11. And therefore, the faith, it's impossible to please God without it. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 11, surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher or perfecter to the highest level, okay? Of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and consider him who's endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that, here's the bottom line for us, dear sisters, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Romans 12. Any thoughts while we turn to that, about that passage? Jamie, would you read, please, Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies to you in holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, the Spirit who serves as worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Okay. So, transforming our minds by the will of God. That's what, if we strive every day to transform, to look to serving God better, we can defeat the power of the devil in our lives. No matter what the world is out there, and it is bad. May not be as bad as what Corinth or Rome was, or some of these other cities in Revelation. Can you imagine? But it's getting there. And so the devil uses what he has at hand in each of our lives to tempt us to leave our faith and our resolve to serve the Lord. And let's not let him win. Okay, in Colossians 1, 9 through 13, I hope that most of you have already read this. It's Paul's prayer for the Colossians as he writes to them. And he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Been talking about that wisdom and understanding that we can get from God. Filled with that wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. Okay? So that. You know, that's the real knowledge. What God has given us through his Word. So that you may walk in a way that's pleasing to God in everything. So that. Come on. You may bear fruit in every good work. I'm putting my words there because the so that's continue down. So that you may increase in the real knowledge of who he is. So that you may be strengthened by the knowledge of his power and the might so as to attain steadfastness. You want to be steadfast? You look to Jesus. You look to his word. And faith. And see, it takes faith. It takes patience. Not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Then, it also talks about being joyous and giving thanks. Giving thanks, verse 12, to the Father who has qualified us to share in his inheritance of the saints in light, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. So that they will joyously give thanks. Do we give thanks every day for the strength? Well, number one, for God's word. For Christ dying for us and the strength that we get from that? Do we give thanks joyously for all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus? If we don't, we're missing out on one of the armors of God and one of the ways that that will boost our resolve. If you go in God, to God, in reverence and awe and thanksgiving, it will give you courage and energy, spiritual energy, to fight the devil that day. If you have a special problem that you're working with, if we have trying times with our children, we say, God, help me, you know, to do what is right, and to keep my patience, and to keep my steadfastness, and to persevere. Man, these young mamas, I can remember, you know, we persevering and not giving up. Don't lose heart. And if you go three steps forward and four back one day, don't worry about it, you know. Just do what you can today. Keep on keeping on. The same thing with trials in our life. 1 minute, 1 moment, 1 day at a time. Because he has reconciled us to him, and he wants me to be holy and blameless and beyond reproach before him and the Father. That's what it's all about. Now, do I want that for myself? Yes, I do. I want these things for myself. So, just from what we talked about, what are you going to do every day? That's the first thing you're going to do. To ensure that. Do you want it? Bad enough? What do you need to do? Ask and pray for it. What else? How are you going to get the knowledge? Is God going to just zap it to you? Okay, read my Bible. Pray over it. You know, ask for wisdom and discernment in trying to carry out this in all aspects of our lives. Whether it be a personal problem that you're trying to overcome every day, or in dealing with others, or dealing with a sin out there in the world, and the temptations that come from that. So, I need to do that every day. Be more thankful and set my priorities. We need to set priorities. Days get too full. I make my list and I don't get through half of it, you know. So, let's set the priorities and do the important things first. Okay, and resolve to do better. I'm going to fail. Okay, we're going to stop there. And Lord willing, we'll start with Ephesians 4, and then we're going to hopefully get into the wisdom from God better.